Tom, an interesting story coming out earlier today. The Elks released offensive lineman Jacob Ruby. Now we know why. Well, for breach of COVID protocol, he was breaching it because he misrepresented to the team that he was vaccinated, according to Dave Naylor.
Yeah, Gregor, like, this...
That, I don't understand that, because you didn't have to be vaccinated. There's some guys on the team who weren't. But to lie about it, because I know that there were certain protocols if you weren't vaxxed, or like, that is amazing to me that, that you would just, because obviously you would just tell them and they kind of probably believe people. You weren't looking for a proof of it, and it comes back to haunt you. Don't lie, kids. It rarely comes back to help you.
Gregor, yeah, so much for that honor system, right? I mean, not a good way to build trust with your teammates. Not a good way to build trust with the fan base, obviously. And, you know, the repercussions are a tough one. This guy loses his job with the team. He's an O-lineman. He's supposed to be protecting Trevor Harris. And it's just a bad look. And I when this started to happen, when we started to see the news of the Elks having, you know, a couple cases, and then it started getting worse and worse, and we got to the point after that game against BC where there was a mini outbreak, I wondered, just in my mind, I'm like, I wonder if some of these guys were not honest. And I didn't want to say it publicly. I didn't want to tweet anything about it. I just thought to myself, I wonder if. And unfortunately, this is a case of that. It's disappointing. It really is. And you know, you say don't lie, kids. You know, it's not even cliche. It's true. And it resonates when you're an adult too. The worst thing you could do is lie. It just creates more problems. And here's an example of that with our football team here in town. It's disappointing. It really is. And unfortunate. And the team's going to suffer because of it. They missed the game already. I know it'll get rescheduled and all that, but just really, really disappointing. And not a good look at all.
Yeah, it's not a good look at all. It's a very odd decision. And speaking of looks, I'm very curious to see how the Elks will look, considering they haven't played or practiced since their last victory 2 weeks ago. And now they'll practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday is usually a walk down. Then they'll travel on Sunday to Calgary and then play Monday.
They get that extra day with the Monday Labor Day Classic. It's exciting. Big week in the CFL, as is tradition. I want to look at it in a positive light and say, okay, they got an extra week's worth of game film on Calgary after their loss in Winnipeg on Sunday. Can they use that? Anybody who was nicked up from the BC game or games prior had that extra week to get healthy and be ready to go. So I'm sure they're excited to get back out on the field. They did a lot of good things in that game against BC in week three, and the offense was good. Ellingson, outstanding performance. We saw James Wilder Jr. with another great performance. Harris was good. They got conversions in the red zone. They finally broke that kind of slump and busted it. So a lot of good things. On the defensive side of things, they got to Michael Riley a lot. They were bringing the pressure. The secondary, Aaron Grimes was looking really good. And we know special teams, there's room for improvement there. That's why they got rid of their special teams coordinator. I don't know if they can, you know, get that up to snuff really quickly. But I'm looking at it, maybe there is some positives that come out of this extended break. Call it a bye week, if you will, unfortunately, with this outbreak of COVID. But maybe it helps them, preps them for a game that in the last decade in Calgary has been really bad to them. So maybe they can turn the tide here, take advantage of the time off, and put it to good use.
I'm fascinated to see how it goes. Also fascinated to watch Canada, the U.S. The Americans have really dominated the women at the World Championships. Not the Olympics so much, but definitely at the World Championships, winning 8 of the last 9. And this is in Canada. Obviously, others have been as well. But I got a sense after Canada spanked the U.S. 5-1 that, you know, the ladies got a lot on the line. Like, they got a lot of pride, and I think they're kind of tired of losing the, you know, silver medals 8 of the last 9 World Championships.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a statement game, that big win over the U.S. A few days ago. They did it without Marie-Philippe Poulin, their captain. She's good to go. She played in the game against Germany. That was an impressive win. Not that we didn't expect them to win that, but Emerent Smashmeyer only had 3 shots, Craig's, for the shutout. So this Canada team is in high gear, and, you know, the U.S. gets by Finland. The Finland team was a thorn in the sides of Canada in 2019, knocked them out of the gold medal game, and that's why the Canadians took home the bronze. Finland thought they should have won that championship against the U.S. after the review and the drama involved there. So tonight on our network, if you want to watch it on TSN, a real opportunity at redemption for our ladies. They have just steamrolled through this tournament, and it would be nice to see them get a little redemption world championship-wise, and I think tonight's the night on home soil. And I'm looking forward to watching that one, and I'm thinking it's going to be a good night for Canada.
Tom Gazzola joins us at Sports Leader TSN 1260. And Tommy, a few other interesting notes. Well, we saw it in The Last Dance, and now it looks like it's going to become a mini documentary or mini movie. Dennis Rodman's Vegas trip during the 1998 finals. They're going to make a movie about it. Like, how good can this be? Like, you know, like, honestly. So what, he was out drinking and gambling? Like, what else is there going to be to this?
Well, apparently he's, like, he was crazy back in those days. I think that it's going to be a Hollywood movie, too. So you know they can stretch the truth. Like, take out the mini-doc side of it. They're going to blow this thing up and make it into a Hollywood movie. I'm curious to see how they do it. They might, you know, explore some things, hyperbolize some things. In The Last Dance, I thought it was great that they caught Carmen Electra in on it when she had to hide in his hotel room when they went to go check in on him. I think they could turn this into a big blockbuster if they do it right. If it's
but who's going to play?
Raps,
like, I don't who's know. Playing Rodman? That to me is the question. Who can play Dennis Rodman?
Will Smith? I don't know. Get someone crazy. Get someone who's good. But I think you could turn this into an awesome movie. If it's more Bohemian Rhapsody as opposed to the one about Motley Crue that was just straight to Netflix, I think this will be a doozy. I mean, you could go so many ways with this. Who knows what kind of weird stuff he did, Greg? That's the thing about Rodman is, like, maybe we're going to uncover some things outside of just him, you know, drinking and blowing a ton of cash at the tables in Vegas and then, you know, taking home a bunch of supermodels plus Carmen Electra back to their suite at wherever they were, the Bellagio or whatever it was. I think that this could be awesome. Like, this guy was a weirdo. Remember when he showed up in a wedding dress? Where was that? Was that, like, on the red carpet for something? Like, just, he's such a bizarre dude that I think that if there are some hidden gems in this 48 hours he was away from the team that they can uncover and really blow it up, I think this might be a really good movie to watch.
I wonder, I hope they get into, because, you know, like, he was homeless for a while. He had a tough life. Like, I hope they focus on that, right? Because to me, that's the story of redemption here. Because no offense, I think sometimes we get, oh, look, this guy was partying. And he's, like, I know lots of guys who would, like, I know one of our buddies who went to Vegas ended up in the hospital, right? Because he didn't sleep for 2 days with heart murmurs. Like, it wasn't the brightest thing to do. Right, like, I know lots of people who are crazy partiers. And sometimes, yeah. Like, we get so, oh, man, the guy drank. Yippee. Like, honestly, there's not that many. There's tons of people who do it, okay? And tons of people who make bad decisions. You don't have to be famous to make a bad decision. I'm more intrigued to see the Dennis Rodman who, you know, what was kind of a quiet, you know, nerdy kid, and then he had a massive growth spurt after high school. Right, like he was, yep, something like 6 feet tall. Then he grew like 8 inches. Right, but he had a tough home life. He was homeless for like a year and a half, and then was able to go to college and become an elite, like one of the greatest defensive players, greatest rebounder we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Right, like to me, that's the story I'd want to focus on because, you know, like, hey, I we've seen movies of people, you know, sure, they're kind of make-believe, oh, they're out partying and everything like that. Like, okay, so now you're going to have one that's kind of based on reality. But we all know, every scientific study will tell you that our memory of what we think happened 20 years ago might not be exactly to the point what happened. So I don't know. Like, maybe I'd watch it, but I'd be more intrigued about the life of Dennis Rodman than one, you know, four-day binge. That doesn't really do
right.
much for me.
But that's a good point. And if they find ways to do, like, flashbacks, splice it in, give you a backstory as to what kind of character, what led to him becoming who he was at that point, if they do it that way, that's why I bring up the Bohemian Rhapsody example. Because I can't remember the Motley Crue one, what the name of it was on Netflix, but it was like a quick, cheap and dirty hour, 45 minutes, where there was no real context. Like, you saw exactly what you're talking about, just the partying, the one buddy that died in the car accident when I think it was, what, Vince Neil was driving and he was wasted. And you're like, oh, and then I had to go back on Wikipedia and read up about it and be like, oh, I didn't know about that. But whereas Bohemian Rhapsody, although it wasn't completely truthful, it gave you that context. At least you go back to their beginnings, Freddie Mercury's family, how he met the other guys from the band. He went to college with them, how he met the girl he wanted to marry. And then obviously, you know, he wasn't with her after. If they do it like that, I think that's a good way to frame it up and then have, you know, the 48 hours in Vegas as kind of the focal point, but it gives you an idea how you got there and then maybe a little bit runoff after what happened when he got back with the team. I think that would be a good way to set it up. Good storytellers, good writers can make it work that way, I think. I have hope for it.
Yeah, so I'm curious who will play Rodman. If Wesley Snipes, got a lot of people saying Wesley Snipes, Jamie Foxx. Yeah, the thing, like, Rodman's 6'8". It's got to be a tall guy, doesn't it? Like, it's got to be somewhat believable.
Right.
Right? So then I'm looking
at... It can't be Will Smith, but they're too old.
No, right? No. Well, yeah, I would agree with you on that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... Just trying to think of... You know, maybe, you know what? Maybe they just go out and kind of get an up-and-comer. Right?
Yeah.
To play that role. Maybe that would be better.
Right.
Right. Would Idris Elba, could he do it?
He's in everything now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe he could do it. He's a good actor. Yeah. He's a great actor, actually.
Because he's probably, like, Rodman actually is probably a little, like, I think Rodman might be older than him in actual, like, because I think Rodman's
yes.
50 or 51. So he'd, you know what? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's how tall is Elba? I think Elba's over
Elba?
6 feet. I think so.
Hey, they we'll make see. Tom Cruise look like he's normal height in movies.
Yeah. Hey boys. Hey, Rodman will play Rodman. Brad. Well, no, Brad. I can tell you, Rodman will not be playing Rodman. He is going to be one of the executive producers, though, but he will not be playing
yes.
Rodman. Yeah. So we got to get a lot of fake tats put on. Right, you're going to have to get a lot of fake tats put on.
Crazy hair. Yeah.
And now here's one. So the fan who was shouting, you know, way to go, Brooksy, got banned because he yelled it at Bryson DeChambeau. Now, I am all for fans getting kicked out when they make derogatory, you know, racist, prejudicial, sexist, or just, you know, unintelligent comments, swearing.
Yeah.
I have no problem. But, like, is Connor Brooksy, like, is that worthy of a ban in your eyes?
No. And listen, he got his wish. If you do that now at a PGA event, you're getting the boot. And like the commissioner of the PGA, Jay Monahan, said that it's disrespectful to call him Brooksy. Like, I find it soft. I don't know. Am I being too old school? Like, I think that that's soft. Like, these two guys clearly don't like each other, DeChambeau and Koepka. And fans call him Brooksy. Are they in close proximity to these golfers on the tee boxes at some of the courses and events? Yeah. Does DeChambeau not like it? Obviously. But he's a... I'm just going to say it, Greggs. He's a baby. Even the other day when Patrick Cantlay was walking, he says, Patrick, can you stop walking? Even the way he stopped himself to say it, I was like, come on, dude. Like, I know the gamesmanship, respect that, I get it, high stakes, you're in a playoff. But it's just, to me, DeChambeau is a crybaby. And this is a perfect example of it. I know he's a star in the game, he's a hell of a golfer, but here he gets his way. You can't call him Brooksy, otherwise you're getting kicked out of the event, which... I think it's sad. Maybe this whole thing has run its course, but I think it's a bit soft. And if I'm too harsh for saying that, I'm sorry.
Hey, guys, golf's not a heckle sport for fans. Golf did the right thing. Ryder Cup's a different story. Or if you go to Arizona, right? Because that one's expected, right? They're cheering. They're going nuts. Yeah. It's a gong show. So, yeah, hey, if that's their etiquette, sure. Because, you know, he's obviously not saying it to be supportive. I understand that, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a
little
good performance.
But it does go along. Golf doesn't want to have, because what's going to happen is there's going to be a fan. Because let's be honest, the barrier in golf is not a barrier that's worth anything.
Right.
You know, you lift it up, you go underneath it, right? So you could see somebody. I think golf likely does this to just stop it before it escalates, and they're doing preventative measure rather than the reactionary after a fan gets into it with DeChambeau or another player. That's probably why they're doing it. And if that's the case, then I would actually agree with that. So maybe stop it before. Because what happens is, because there's going to be someone else. Oh, look, that guy did it. I want to be the next guy who does it. Unfortunately, there's lots of those for sure.
Yeah.
Lots of those for sure. So
if people are a little too lubed up on the course, going to those events, overserved, all of that, you're right, they could get a little out of hand. What if he has just a tremendous Ryder Cup, is a star and a hero for the US team, and wins over people that way? That could be a natural way to get people to stop doing that too. That might be wishful thinking though, Greggs, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Gregor.